The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a celebratory Inside the Huddle show as we break down Indiana's big win at Purdue in the bucket game. Yesterday, they knocked off the Boilers 54-36, earning their sixth win, making them bowl eligible for the first time since 2007. It is their third straight bucket win, another feat that hasn't been done in a while, since 1947. So, you know, congratulations all around. A lot of smiles yesterday at Ross Aid in terms of cream and crimson. We're bringing in our co-host, TJ Inman. TJ, how are you? And how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, it was great. Yeah, Thanksgiving was great. And the Saturday after Thanksgiving was great. It's always good to have extended time off work. And, you know, we were able to experience something that as IU football fans, we don't get to experience near as often as we'd like, but it's certainly something to savor when it does happen. And, you know, I know that nationally it doesn't register a lot. Even regionally, it might not register all that much. But for the IU football program and historically what it has been, you know, this group of players and coaches was able to accomplish something that they definitely should be proud of, and it was just a lot of fun to watch them get to celebrate that on the field and be rewarded for how far they've come as a group.
Yeah, and it got some national recognition with Devine Redding's hurdle over a defender. Lolo Jones was on Twitter breaking it down. I think she gave him a C- on form. Which I thought was harsh. He looked pretty good jumping over that defender. But she's the Olympic athlete, and I am, let's say, I am not the Olympic athlete. So we're going to bring in other Hoosier Huddle writer Nick Holmes. Nick, you watched the game from home yesterday. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys? It's great to be on after a win again.
Yeah, we're doing excellent. It's always great to talk about a win, and we'll have a couple more shows, you know, full-time shows going forward with the bowl. First, I want to ask TJ, you know, what about this game stood out to you?
Well, I think, you know, in the pregame show on Wednesday, the main thing that we talked about was just playing with expectations. You know, it doesn't happen a lot. But Indiana was in a position where they were favorites in this game on the road and had to go, you know, it's not the most hostile place, but had to go into an enemy territory and play with something on the line. And I think what stood out to me was that these guys showed up in a big way. You know, it was over 300 yards rushing and passing, an incredibly balanced attack. And if we're being honest with ourselves, Indiana could have put up, you know, more than 700 yards very, very easily. I think it's possible that they could have gotten to 800 if they really had the need to push themselves. Thankfully, the defense was able to make enough plays to do that. Another thing that really stood out to me was that the defense, while not a tremendous performance, the defense did enough to contribute to the victory. They made enough big plays, whether that was turnovers forced in the fourth quarter or, you know, pressuring the quarterback. They were able to get consistent pressure on Austin Appleby, level some big hits on him, you know, six sacks on the day and a lot more hurries than that. I think it was like 10 tackles for loss total, so they were able to generate negative plays. And they did well enough on third down, preventing too many third and longs being converted. So I thought that the offense was really, really good on Saturday, and the defense did their part overall it was just a very good team victory. Purdue's not a good football team, but Indiana was able to really manhandle them, kept them at bay. Purdue got within 8 at one point, but Indiana really responded every time Purdue was able to make it interesting.
Nick, what did you take away from the game as well?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to just the offensive performance, it was just a play by Nate Sudfeld for back-to-back weeks. He threw for over 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, no picks. So obviously that was really encouraging to see. He actually had a rushing touchdown this week and last week. So that was obviously, it's exciting for him because although a lot of people don't want to admit it, sometimes your legacy is tied to, the win and loss column, and he has all these great statistics through his career. But I think getting to the postseason is really just the cherry atop his career so far. And with that, I mean, we were concerned maybe with Howard not being there. Obviously, Devine played great against Maryland, and he came out and had a solid game against Purdue. And then Ricky Brookings, aside from that fumble, also looked good. And Andrew Wilson also gave some really solid carries. And mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm really most proud about with this team yesterday was Purdue's continual chippy play, the personal fouls. They were trying to bait IU into getting into their game, And IU didn't retaliate. They knew that they had a bigger mission at hand. They wanted to, more than just beat Purdue, they knew the getting 6 wins was really what they were after. So they didn't get caught up in this little, chip shot. I was really proud of the team, and that just shows a lot of composure and discipline that has been instilled by Coach Wilson and his staff.
I had a huge smile on my face when Andrew Wilson was able to punch it in for a touchdown after, and I forget the player's name that stepped on his face mask, but after that player stepped on his face mask, and there's no place for that. And Andrew Wilson was able to, instead of retaliating, getting a 15-yard penalty or one of the linemen retaliating or something like that, they just gave the ball to Wilson. He pounded into the end zone, got the touchdown. That's how you get somebody back in football. That's how you do it. That's toughness in football. It's not – it's not cheap shots after the play. It's not, jawing off or making, gestures every time you do anything. It's doing it on the field, and Indiana was able to do that on Saturday. So that's a good point, Nick.
Yeah, I was going to bring that point up as well, Nick, was that, as IU kept his composure, Purdue kind of lost it and blew their top. Even on that Andrew Wilson play, the guy was grabbing his face mask as he was on the ground as well and then stomped on him and then looked around like he did nothing. So you could tell that, Purdue was frustrated. It's not an excuse, but, IU kept its composure. And ultimately, you could see why IU has won 3 Bucky games in a row and why they have 6 wins and while Purdue is, and why Purdue is a 2-10 team who is – beaten, two Big Ten teams in 3 years. So, they have their own issues they have to figure out. We'll see what they do. They did fire their, their coordinators and basically cleaned houses of Hazel's staff. But Hazel will be back, and I think Hoosier fans will agree that that is good news. There's a lot going on. The thing that stood out to me, again, was, the running game. It was, it had me nervous that Jordan Howard was going to be out. But you saw this offensive line impose its will on Purdue. You saw Devine Redding with the big runs. Andrew Wilson, like you said, ran the ball tough. And I think the difference in the last few weeks that IU's had with the run game, even without Jordan Howard, is the addition of Brandon Knight at tight end. And he's been awesome. Kevin Wilson has said the last couple of weeks since Wake Forest how big of an absence Danny Friend had at tight end in blocking in the run game. And you saw the run game never really got going against Ohio State. It was absent against Penn State. And then you saw it kind of get going at Rutgers. You know, Michigan State, they did okay. And then it really, the last, you know, Iowa, Michigan, Maryland, and Purdue really took off. So I think Brandon Knight really has really made a contribution on their on the offensive line, blocking as a tight end. And he had a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah.
Which everybody was calling a tackle-eligible play. For those for those who haven't watched the Hoosiers since Wake Forest or since the beginning of the year, like some of the reporters, we know that Brandon Knight is now a tight end, and it was not a tackle eligible play to number 62.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good good scheming as far as, you know, coming into the game. As you said, IU was missing a blocking tight end, so Purdue and everyone else's assumption is, well, this guy is strictly a blocking tight end, and he just kind of leaked out and was wide open. And, you know, I don't know if they expected him to be that wide open, but he showed some pretty good hands for a offensive lineman, so tight end offensive lineman.
Yeah, and another thing that IU will have fun on tape with was, I think, in the beginning of the third quarter when Devine had a big run, and Sudfeld's running down there trying to get in somebody's way. Ended up getting it Devine Redding's way, but he's down 40 yards downfield trying to block for him. So, you know, talking to Anthony Cassaro after the game, Cassaro said he did not teach Sudfeld how to block. So we'll find out who taught Sudfeld how to block downfield, and I'm sure the guys will give him a good time in the film session. They're a happy bunch. Congratulations to Coach Wilson and his staff and all the guys. And it was quite the festive atmosphere after the game there at Ross 8, although it was very, very cold. It was still fun. Going forward, guys, you know, Fred Glass met with the media yesterday after the game. He, you know, I think I know what he was trying to say. I don't think he said it the way he should have said it. I think he was trying to say is that he wanted to enjoy this win for the next couple days, which is fine. You know, this is the first time it's happened since the late 40s. You're bowl eligible for the first time in 8 years. So enjoy the win. And that's, you know, looking at Twitter yesterday, too, IU fans complaining that they should be 9-3. You're bowl eligible. Just enjoy it. Smile. Don't be miserable people. Don't be these fans who are, we should have been 9-3. This, you know, we got to get rid of the coach and change everything. You're bowl eligible. It was, you know, I don't want to say mission accomplished, but, you know, you hit one of your milestones that you needed to hit. So, you know, Fred came out and said he wanted to bask in the glow of this win, and we'll talk to Kevin later about a contract extension. I think that Wilson does deserve an extension. Glass could have thrown a little bit more support around him. I think the next 13 days, IU's coaches are out recruiting. I think it would be a great tool for recruiting to send these guys out with a bowl bid and a contract extension to ensure their future with the program. Nick, we'll start with you. What did you take away from Glass's comments yesterday?
You know, it's just what you said, that, you know, this is what you said, you know, this is the third time that we've beat Purdue in a row, and it's the first time it's happened since 44 through 47 when they beat them four times in a row. So let's enjoy this. I imagine behind the scenes that there's been discussion, and we've talked about this, there's probably been discussion, you know, after they've played four top 10, top 12 teams toe-to-toe, which hasn't happened in the recent history that I've watched IU. So I, you know, and with all these other jobs opening up and guys already being hired, it just seems like maybe he's, I don't know, he's probably not playing his cards too close. I think that, you know, discussions have been made, and they're just trying to figure out what makes most sense for Coach Wilson, his staff, because they, like you alluded to, Sammy, they need a bump in pay as well. And it'll be interesting to see how things go. But, yeah, it would be a huge tool in recruiting when you can say, hey, guys, I'm not going to be around here for just the next 2 years. I'm signed up for the next 5 years, five plus years, whatever's most appropriate for
for Coach Wilson and the program, I'm sure they're looking into.
Yeah, TJ, what did you think? Did you think that, that Glass is behind Wilson, or, you know, is this kind of throwing, to use a term the kids are using now, throw shade at Kevin Wilson's, you know, tenure as head coach?
Well, I think other comments that I've seen from Fred Glass from yesterday and from, you know, this entire season, he's mentioned, you know, he's played, you know, IU has played, I don't remember everything he said, but, you know, four top 25 teams very competitively and et cetera, et cetera. He's mentioned a lot of positives and then said, you know, Kevin Wilson checks all the boxes. I haven't read or heard anything from Fred Glass that would indicate to me that he's thinking anything other than Kevin Wilson is the immediate future of this program. As far as how long-term that goes, I don't know. That'll be for the department and for Kevin Wilson to work out. I do think an extension is deserved and inevitable. I think it's just a matter of time before it gets worked out and gets announced. As far as his comments yesterday, yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't perhaps worded the best that it could have been. I don't know if he was maybe caught off guard to be asked about it, which, you know, he shouldn't have been caught off guard if that was the case. Those questions were definitely going to come. I think it as well as he could have, and, you know, part of that, I mean, this is going to be his first bowl game as the athletic director, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't have any doubts as to an extension happening. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be announced, but I do agree that it should be sometime here this week because, like you said, it can be an additional tool in recruiting, which, you know, is a big bonus. As we've seen with all these shakeups and coaching positions, what's going to happen is a lot of guys are going to either decommit from a school that they were committed to because of a coaching change, or they're going to commit someplace here pretty soon if a coach that they really like goes to a program that they're already considering in the first place. So that's going to start happening as these jobs fill up, because the first task for any coach as soon as he takes a new job is to first contact the guys that are on the team and considering, like, leaving for the NFL early or transferring. Second thing is usually contact the recruits that are committed to that school, attempt to kind of re-recruit them and keep them there. And then after that, contact the recruits that that they had committed to their previous school and get them. So guys are going to be recruiting really hard here these next few weeks. That's kind of the start of the second season of college football. While there's still some really important games going on for the kind of the big schools, the big name schools that are in title games, there's kind of this undercurrent that is these secondary programs, if you will, all kind of recruiting. And then, you know, these extra practices that are coming up for Indiana as well. So it's a huge time frame coming up. It's one that, you know, we as Hoosier Huddle or we as Indiana fans don't have a lot of experience with. It hasn't happened since 2007, but I'm really looking forward to, number one, seeing what that bowl destination is going to be, number two, seeing who the opponent's going to be, and then number three, seeing kind of how recruiting is going to shake out, because I think we all anticipate this 2016 class starting to really take shape here in the next few weeks. This kid's, you know, as IU can approach kids with a bowl bid and hopefully a contract extension for the coaching staff. One thing I did want to mention before we put this Purdue game to bed, I do want to kind of, I guess, congratulate or, you know, give a shout out or whatever, acknowledge the play of Andre Booker. He's a guy that, you know, he's kind of an afterthought. I mean, he was a former walk-on that really I didn't expect anything out of him this season. He was buried on the depth chart at wide receiver. He has played more these past couple weeks, and I thought had a very nice game against Maryland. And then, Simi Cobbs gets hurt, and kudos to him for battling back onto the field, but he was not able to be a deep receiver threat. His speed was kind of zapped with the ankle injury. So Andre Booker stepped in, and Purdue got within eight. Nate Sudfeld goes deep to Booker, and that really sealed the deal for the Hoosiers, and it was good to see a senior, and I thought really a good example of kind of the overall team victory that, to me, it really showed how much better the roster has gotten because injuries to some key guys did not just kill Indiana's chances in a big game like that. They were able to rebound from those injuries and just plug guys in, and those guys made plays.
Yeah, and to go back to Nate Sudfeld, he climbed the top of the IU career passing yards list with that 72-yard touchdown to Booker, and that's his second long touchdown in as many weeks. I want to go back to recruiting a little bit. One comment is you see the teams that, you know, you would love IU to compete with Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State and Penn State in recruiting, but you see the teams that are in IU's tier with Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue just fired their staff aside from Hazel. All these teams are kind of sputtering in the mud here, and IU, if you could get out there and say, hey, we have our staff, we're ready to go, you can really get a leg up on some of these, you know, mid-level teams and really make a dent in recruiting that could push you maybe for the next couple of years above Rutgers and Maryland in the Big Ten East and start trying to compete with the next guy up, which would probably be Penn State, who did let their offensive coordinator go this year. But let's move on to bowl destinations. It will not be announced until probably the Sunday after the championship game, so December 6th, I believe. And, you know, some of the bowl games are flying around that I've heard are the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, the Foster Farms Bowl in Santa Clara, California. The Music City Bowl has been mentioned, but I think it is a long shot, and that's in Nashville. I think they're past the Quick Lane Bowl, especially now that Illinois and Minnesota both lost last week, and there are a whole bunch of 5-7 teams, and that'll be really interesting to watch is which 5-7 teams are going to get these bowl bids for games that can't fill spots. Nick, we'll start with you. Which bowl do you think IU is going to land in?
Well, if I were a betting man, I would have to say, and this is for your benefit, Sammy, since you'll be able to go to this one quite easily, I'm thinking it's going to be the Pinstripe Bowl, just based on what we talked about earlier today. Penn State was in it last year, so therefore they can't be in it this year. So that's who I would say they'll probably end up against. I know that people have thrown Louisville as their potential opponent. I'd like to see Virginia Tech in there. I think there's just a lot of reasons why that would be a compelling matchup. Virginia Tech always has a strong defense, so you know, strong offense, strong defense could be an interesting impact. And plus, it would be Beamer's last game, so there's a lot around that. So there would definitely be a lot of publicity around that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not complaining about your pick, Nick. TJ, how about you? Where do you think IU is going to end up?
I have not dove into my research on that yet. We are going to have for readers of our site, which we hope all of you are, we are going to have a kind of a bowl predictions destination piece at some point this week. So keep an eye out for that. And my answer for that will probably be different than what I say here just because I haven't dove in and done the research. I think Nick's prediction makes a lot of sense. He mentioned earlier to us that Penn State was in that game last year. They're a team that kind of mirrors IU in terms of bowl slot. They're probably like one notch above IU if you're just going by strictly like pecking order. But they went to that game last year, so it's unlikely that that the Pinstripe Bowl or the Penn State administration would want to do that again. So that makes a lot of sense, and Virginia Tech would be a cool opponent. You know, it's a good ACC program. Frank Beamer's last game, so the exposure there would be good. And they do have a common opponent this year in Purdue, so that would be an intriguing matchup. I think I will just predict, and I have no clue until I do some more research, but the bowl in Santa Clara, and I don't know, you said the name of that, but I forget that bowl game, and opponent
the Foster
I will go
Farms Bowl.
Foster Farms Bowl. Opponent, I will go Arizona State. It is one that has been mentioned to me a couple different times. I've seen it online as a projection a couple weeks ago, so we'll go with that one. I have no clue, but that would probably be a complete shootout if that did happen. I think a lot of people would put that on the entertaining ones to watch if you had Indiana going against the Pac-12 team.
Yeah,
kind of a Rose Bowl with Jades, I guess.
Sure. For all those farms out in Santa Clara, California. I think they grow plums there, maybe. I don't know. Will Wikipedia Santa Clara if they are going to Santa Clara? I do agree with, that's all our sources of information come from Wikipedia. It is the number one source on the internet. Nobody ever lies on it. If you're writing a paper and listening to this, please use Wikipedia. If you can't sense the sarcasm, you can Wikipedia sense of humor as well. Anyway, I do agree with Nick. I think they're going to get slotted in the Pinstripe Bowl. Penn State, I don't think is eligible for the Pinstripe Bowl since they went last year. I think rules dictate that they have to have like 8 or 9 different teams over the next 10 years. They would love to get Indiana in there. So it was a really weird contract with the ACC and Big Ten, but I think that was part of the deal. I think they'd love to get the Indiana, the alumni base in New York there would be fired up. It's not a bad trip for Hoosier fans to New York City. Who I see them playing, I've seen projections from Louisville last week to Miami of Florida this week. We'll see. Those are, Miami is a big name program and name only. They're kind of a tire fire this year. But if, like Fred Glass said yesterday, he wants to go to a bowl game where they play a national name, and playing a team like Miami would be playing a national team who you could beat. And, that's a nice, the nice thing to put up in your trophy room is, the Pinstripe Bowl trophy. With, beat University of Miami, Florida, not Ohio. And that'd be a great thing to sell some of these recruits, especially since they're recruiting more in Florida now. I will be happy with any bowl game. We will be there.
Yeah. I'm thinking if that's the contract of the Pinstripe Bowl, which I'm sure it is, I'm kind of wondering, what other teams could actually be in that range then from the Big Ten, if not Penn State? Because the West teams, they've kind of have a haves and have-nots this year. You've got, teams with 9 and 10 wins in Iowa, since Minnesota and Nebraska came up short.
Illinois.
There. Illinois came up short.
I think they have a pecking order, TJ, where those bowls in Florida, I think it's, what is it, the Outback Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, or whatever, they probably changed their names a gazillion times, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. They all have a different pecking order, and I think where IU would be, when the Pinstripe Bowl picks, IU would be the best option there.
Right.
I think they do pick ahead of the Foster Farms Bowl, and it did depend on who won and lost yesterday's games. Illinois lost. That was good for IU. That moved them up. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on some of these playoff games and some of these New Year's Six games. If the Big Ten can get 2 or 3 teams in there, it'll bump everybody up. Everybody up a slot. And that'll help IU get a better bowl as well.
So you're saying we're going to the Outback Bowl?
It'd be a lot warmer than the Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay, Outback Bowl it is. All right, yay!
but anyway, guys, we are out of time. Half an hour goes quickly. We will have our bowl projections out. I think Big Ten, Nick tweeted something out just a few minutes ago. The All Big Ten teams, BTN.com did it, is out. We'll give you a recap of those real quick. Guys, thanks for jumping on, and thanks for a wonderful regular season, and let's get ready for bowl season. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, thanks everybody that's listened all season, or for those that are just tuning in for the first time, we love to have you, and hope you stick on this ride with us. It's going to be a fun month, or however long it is, heading up to the bowl game, and it's awesome to have IU in the postseason.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, a wild ride, really, and we thank you for sticking with us. Do come back to HoosierHuddle.com and follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_.com. If you want to support our site, we do have a link on Amazon on our homepage. I believe it's a textbook right now, or the Hoosier Shop. If you want to help support us, click on that. We get we get some proceeds from a referral bonus. So when you're doing your Cyber Monday shopping or your Christmas shopping, do log on to Amazon and help us out. These guys work hard to bring you, some of the best coverage of IU football. So thank you, guys. I appreciate all the work you've done. I know the Hoosier fans love it, too. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll get cranking out on bowl predictions. All right, that does it for today's show. We will be back at some point. We might not be back on Wednesday, but we'll figure out a bowl schedule. Like TJ said earlier, it is a new schedule for everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and enjoy the rest of the week.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.